In many teachings about Buddhist meditation, there's a strong distinction made between concentration practice, samatha or samadhi, and the development of insight, vipassana. They're represented often as completely different practices, and you should stop one in order to begin the next, or even debating whether they're compatible at all, which is strange, because in the Buddha's teaching, these are described, represented as very naturally, closely related aspects of mind training. One particular teaching, the Buddha says that for one whose mind is concentrated, collected, in whom there is samadhi, there's no need for them to think, may knowledge and vision of the way things are arise. Yatha bhutang jnanadasanang. Because it's natural, it's completely in accord with the laws of nature. In one whose mind is concentrated, collected, then the insight will arise. Knowledge and vision of the way things are will naturally arise. And this is something that Lumpur Cha would like to underscore, to emphasize. These are not two practices. These are not separate from each other, really. They're different attributes of mind that work together, are intrinsically related. You would describe it like a match and a candle. See, if you have a lot of emphasis on samatha and concentration, it's like having a candle but no match. You know, you've got the potential for light, but you can't see in the dark. There's a candle, but if it's not lit, then you have potential, but you're still in the dark. Insight is like a match. If you have a match, then you can strike it and see for a little while, but that light won't last long because the fuel is very small in quantity. But if you put the match and the candle together, then you can see for a long time. Darkness is dispelled extensively for a long time. So as the retreat progresses, we're now about the fourth or fifth day together. Have a steady routine, lots of formal practice together, establishing the qualities of silence and composure. And it's natural for the mind to settle down a bit. We're not creating the causes for agitation. So that quality of collectedness, samatha, samadhi, composure of mind, becomes a little easier for most of us. As that quality of collectedness, steadiness of attention in the present is established, then there's less of a need to focus the attention on the rhythm of the breathing or the rhythm of our footsteps. Particular meditation objects. Rather, we can open the attention consciously, deliberately, broadening the sphere of attention to include what we hear, what we feel, what we think, what we smell, what we taste, what we touch. What Lumpur Sumedho would call the point which includes. Meditation is still one-pointed in the present, but that point includes the whole field of experience. As the attention is opened, the heart opens to receive the flow of perceptions, then the partner to that, in terms of cultivating Dhamma practice, is letting go, non-grasping, not clinging. So to the sounds we hear, the thoughts that appear in the mind, the mental images, tastes and smells, physical sensations, emotions of like and dislike, comfort and discomfort. Opening the heart to that flow of the experiential field. The key attitude to sustain is non-grasping, letting go. This is developing that second noble truth and its method of response. The habit is to grasp, to attach, to cling, to identify, to claim, this is me, this is mine, I am the doer, I am the meditator, I am the experiencer, I am speaking, I am feeling, I do remember, I am thinking. So those habits of grasping become more and more apparent. And so the work, the effort, based on mindfulness and wisdom, is let go, let go, let go. As the heart sustains that quality of openness, there's a receiving, an acceptance of the flow of experience, sounds and sensations, waves of dislike, excitement, jealousy, fantasy, sleepiness, agitation, whatever it might be. Be that open space that receives it all, knows it all, lets go of it all. In establishing and sustaining this attitude of non-grasping, letting go, non-attachment, there's a noticing, there's a witnessing of the many and various habits that the mind has, the judgments that the mind makes, how we measure things, the scale we give to things, big, small, long and short. This is a long time, this is a short time. This is really big, this is really small. This is beautiful, this is ugly. And one of the key teachings on the development of insight and liberation, it said, passion, raga, is a maker of measurement, pamanakara. Aversion is a maker of measurement. Delusion is a maker of measurement. We measure things, we compare things, and then believe in our comparisons. This is really long, this is really short, this is big, this is small. This is beautiful, this is ugly. It should be this way, it shouldn't be this way. Passion is a maker of measurement. Aversion is a maker of measurement. Delusion is a maker of measurement. Similarly, passion is a maker of signs. Nimittakara makes signs and says, this is a thing, this is its shape, this is what it is. Raga is a maker of signs. Aversion is a maker of signs. Delusion is a maker of signs. We create these symbols, these forms, these ideas, concepts, structures, and take them to be real. In the same teaching it said, passion is a something. Aversion is a something. Delusion is a something. The mind keeps creating things. My thoughts, my feelings, my memories. What I see, what I'm doing, my choices, my karma, my practice, my problems, my accomplishments. my possessions, my monastery, my body, my ajahn, my home, my relationships. So as the practice of letting go, non-grasping is developed, a lot of that revolves around noticing these makings of measurement, makings of signs, forms, creating things. The mind continually creates the world, then believes in it, gets lost in it. So letting go is challenging all of those habits, the judgments of long and short, coarse and fine, beautiful and ugly, big and small. We call something big, and it's big, because we've named it so. We call it small, it's small, because we've named it so. We determine these things into existence, out of habit of mind. That's all. There's no intrinsic bigness or smallness, no intrinsic forms, no intrinsic substantiality. No solid thing is really there. So the development of insight, then, is the work of constantly letting go, dissolving those habits of comparing, measuring, judging, creating structures and believing in them, where things belong, how it should be. Noticing the habits of approval and disapproval, like and dislike that happen around those judgments. This is beautiful. This is right. This is how it should be. This is ugly. This is wrong. Disgusting. Shouldn't be this way. Over and over and over again, there's a need to challenge. Well, it's disgusting because that's landed on my tongue and there's a reaction in the taste center of the brain. That's all. If it was a different tongue, a different creature, the reaction might be, ooh, delicious. Or, what taste? There's no taste. It's subjective, dependent, contingent. There's no thing absolutely, completely, and really there. So the development of insight, this freeing of the heart, is based upon a constant effort, steady effort, to challenge those assumptions, those judgments. As Lungpo Cha would put it, to see like and dislike as being of equal value. When the mind says, yes, that's right, catch it, notice it. Notice this is approving. This is the mind saying yes to something. It's like this. When there's disapproval or dislike, like wrong, shouldn't be this way, that's bad. Catch it, notice it, challenge it. This is the mind saying no, shouldn't be this way. Simply the way the mind is judging it, measuring it. And when those challenges are made, notice the effect in the citta. When there is that refusal to just believe in the mind's judgments, habits, measurements, comparisons, when there's a genuine non-grasping, letting go, what's here? When the grasping stops, what is here? And there's that recognition, oh, this is just the mind saying, I like, that's all. There's no thing there. This is just the mind saying, I dislike, that's all. There's no thing there. In this place of realization, there's simplicity, peacefulness, no sense of self. In that moment, there's not a me who has let go. There's just the nature of mind knowing its own quality. The Dhamma aware of its own quality, its own nature. Here it is. When the grasping stops, Dhamma is revealed. The Dhamma knows itself. There's no need to write a big story about that or make any claims. Just notice that quality of simplicity, peacefulness. Feel that. Allow that into the heart. Let that be fully known. Over and over and over again. When there's no grasping, what's here is peacefulness, spaciousness, easefulness, a natural, spacious simplicity. Here it is. Every time the grasping stops, peace is here. Oh, slowly but surely, then the mind begins to acknowledge, to recognize, this is the ground. The Dhamma is the ground of being, of knowing. When it's unobscured by grasping, it knows its own nature. It's awake, peaceful, spacious, completely natural.